Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Words in my head.
The most poignant seven words ever uttered in any speech anywhere.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So I will never give up.
To be honored with this, I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I listened to all that he said, everything that he asked of us, and that's to build the V Foundation.
What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others.
We are going to find a cure for cancer.
Because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Jimmy, a man up there. We are not going to stop chasing our dream, beat cancer.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
So you just heard that because today is Giving Tuesday. That's a day when all people, or people all across the country, I should say, be nice if it was all people, give back to support the organizations that mean the most to them and their communities, all people who are able. So today, all day long, ESPN Radio is supporting the V Foundation. Again, if you're able, you might not be in a position to, but if you're able, we hope that you'll choose to give today, to join us today on Giving Tuesday. Go to v.org/donate. You can do that right now, v.org/donate. And help support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. So, guys, the QR code is on ESPN, too, as well, for donations. Bart Scott, guys, I don't know how to make these hard left turns, right? But we got to do it. We're doing sports talk radio. Bart Scott, our esteemed colleague, has not been overly impressed with the Eagles' 40.
Same guy that said Kansas City is going to fall off a cliff, right? Pretty much.
Not make the playoffs.
Oh, not make the playoffs, yeah. Okay.
I believe Kansas City will make the playoffs, for the record. Anyway, Bart was not impressed with the Eagles' 40-33 win over the Packers because of their issue defending the run. I mean, obviously, the Eagles all ran all over the Packers, but the Packers were also able to pick up yards on the ground. He thinks once Jalen Hurts has to beat a team with his arm,
what?
Philly's going to be in trouble. Here he is on Bart and Han.
For everything that Jalen Hurts is doing, and, for everything that he's been this year and efficient with the football and consistent, not having a bad game, I just wonder if he goes against a quarterback that is an upper echelon quarterback. If he can rise to the occasion and beat the teams with his arm and not his legs.
So
why does it just have to be one way of beating a team? They have multiple ways of beating teams.
He's saying if someone tries to take the, it's the same thing with all quarterbacks who are really good on the ground. They'll say, well, if a defense tries to take that away, can you beat them from the pocket? Right? That's said about Lamar Jackson and running quarterbacks before Lamar. And now it's being said about Jalen Hurts.
Did you want to finish?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so it drives me crazy because I watch football for a living, religiously, high school, college, professional, the whole deal. What are you seeing that makes you think that he can't beat a team with his arm? Like, what are you watching?
KD.
I mean, how many times, Shay, does this dude got to be 23 or 27 for 230 in two times? Like, how many times?
Hold on, Max.
Do you think it's anything key about – do you think the plays that they're running are designed run plays for Jalen Hurts, similar to what Eberflus has done with Justin Fields?
Oh, no. They 100% have designed run plays. They have off-schedule plays. They have designed run plays. This league right now is made up of quarterbacks that can dominate from both the pocket and with their legs, off-schedule plays. Whether it's Kyler Murray, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Joe Burrow to a degree, whether it's Justin Herbert to a degree, it just looks different. I don't understand, Max, what Bart is looking at that he's saying that the guy can't beat you with his arm.
He's not saying he can't. Let me tell you what I hear. Jay, once upon a time in the NBA, a jump shooting team, a three-point shooting team, never going to win the championship because it's never been done before, even as the league was changing. And then the Warriors done it a bunch of times, and now everyone shoots the three. The league is changing, and basically you must be a dual-threat quarterback if you really want to be an elite quarterback nowadays, right?
And yet, the statues aren't the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's of the world. Them statues are gone.
Right. However, the guys with the statues, right? Meaning the outside the arenas, is like the guys who have achieved on the highest level. You can't even point to one quarterback throughout history who was whose like best skill was running or tied for his best skill was running. That's won a Super Bowl. And so that will happen, and it'll happen soon, and then it'll continue to happen. But until that happens.
Because of the statues have been around, though, Max.
100%.
They're being flushed out.
So until that happens, what people will ask, Bart's not saying he can't do it. What he's saying that he needs to see is Hurts do that. When they take the run away, can you beat the team from the pocket?
But I've seen enough. In 2 years of him as a full-time starter to tell you with my eyes, yes, he can.
I'm with you. I think so,
I've
too.
I've seen enough.
He has dropped some.
Oh, my God.
Dimes.
Handoffs.
Yeah, dimes.
Straight handoffs. Now, if you're telling me you want him to get into a shooting match with 50 attempts, then you're going to lose the game anyway, no matter what damn quarterback
you're Patrick
Mahomes. It's like, oh, he needs to throw for 350 yards and beat a team with just, you know, throws, just his arm. Like, it doesn't work that way, though. This team has so many weapons. Why you'll need to utilize, every team is going to utilize all their weapons to win a Super Bowl. No team that's going to win a Super Bowl is going to be one-dimensional.
Right.
Maybe Tennessee.
You think
Tennessee? Yeah, but I don't see them winning the Super Bowl.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe Tennessee. Because they can run the football and they can play a little bit
of
defense.
If Tennessee had Tom Brady, right? If Tennessee had a statue,
Tom Brady is really the only statue that's left.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? I mean, everybody can move with their legs. I think Tom Brady might be the only
Matt Ryan, but he's now at this
Matt
point.
Ryan's like, come on, man.
At this point, yeah.
He could never run.
Kirk Cousins is pretty mobile. He's not
Deshaun Watson coming back this week is very mobile.
Very mobile.
I would say those are probably the only two I would consider statues that's left.
Who?
Is Brady and Kirk Cousins.
I don't think of Kirk Cousins as a statue.
Yeah, they get up on him. It's a wrap. He ain't outrunning nobody.
That's different than a statue.
That's different than a statue, right?
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
You see, Tom.
It's the
same. No, but Kirk Cousins has a little more fluidity when he moves.
Right, yeah, but stop. Who is Kirk Cousins running away from, though?
His shadow.
Like, he's not even running away from his shadow because the shadow's usually in front of you, not behind you or on the side of you. I mean, it's the truth.
You're saying,
right?
Kirk Cousins is so slow, his shadow's in front of him?
Think about it. I mean, like, who?
Wait, the sun's coming from this way. How's your shadow in front of you?
Because let's face it, let's look at it this way.
Yeah.
If you go in all the different divisions, Tua, Josh Allen, you got Mac Jones.
Yep. Mac Jones. Yeah. Mac Jones is a statue.
Yeah, he's a statue.
Yep.
And Mike White, I haven't seen enough of him to know what he
is. But Mac Jones is a good call.
Yeah, because Zach Wilson could move around a little bit. Then you go, Tua could run. He could do all that. Tua, again, he can run. He could do all that. Jay, I want you to say something.
Nothing to say.
Obviously, in Arizona, Kyler Murray.
But let's make a distinction here, because we go through the whole league. They're almost all mobile quarterbacks nowadays.
Yes,
but
like
there's
a
levels
distinction.
Of mobile quarterbacks.
Yes, the guys who you design runs for, like the Kyler Murrays, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons, not that they all run exactly the same, but these are guys that are different than just being mobile. They're so mobile, you design plays for that mobility.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And you can win a championship that way because times are changing. Mm-hmm. It's not where 10 years ago you had all these 6'4" quarterbacks that couldn't move to save their life. It was like cement. It was in their boots. I call them gravy boots. It was so heavy, they couldn't move. So it's changing now, and I think Jalen Hurts can win a championship with his style of play, for sure.
I always thought in the old days, one of the reasons it was hard for a really mobile quarterback to win a championship is because the temptation's always there. Oh, I can pick up a first down with my left. If you always can do that, if that's the safety valve, then you don't develop the same way as a pocket passer.
But that has changed
because you have to be able to do everything now.
You hear what you just said, though?
What's that?
Developed as a pocket passer.
Right.
That's because the people that was coaching him 15 years ago was forcing them to stay in the pocket. They didn't have the foresight to see, oh, maybe we could be innovative with this guy and do these sort of things. Mm-hmm. So just think 15 years ago, if they would have just decided to do with Michael Vick what they do in the day with Lamar Jackson and the company.
Right.
Imagine what that would have looked
if Mike Vick had the same kind of work habits as some of these guys.
Well, he probably would have had the same type of work
habits. Not according to him.
Well, I mean,
according to him.
I mean, but he probably would have because you're giving him something that he likes to do opposed to trying to force him to do something because there was a whole thing, Jay, that went on for years. Oh, he's got to be in the pocket more. You know, all the quarterbacks get on TV. He's got to be in the pocket more. He needs to do. He ain't Tom Brady. He ain't Peyton Manning.
He ain't like Philip Rex.
He's doing the robot.
I got to be in the pocket.
He brought back the electric boogie.
They're so stiff. That's why you see Jalen Hurts at the podium, and it's refreshing, right? Because you're so used to the guy getting up there with the little tie on and we play a certain way. And, you know, that's so old now. Now you got this new wave, and it's just fresh. It's refreshing to see.
This is Keyshawn J. Willimax coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Guys, it's at 10 after every hour, we give you the winning word, the KJM 10K a day giveaway. 10 after every hour, you hear the winning word, you text it to 777-000, 777-000, and it is that time.
The Bills. KJ and Max, 10K giveaway.
It is the 10K a day giveaway, but it's also Giving Tuesday. And in honor of the V Foundation, our winning word of the hour is hope. H-O-P-E, hope. So when you hear the winning word, and you just did hope, text it to 777-000, and you're entered for your chance to win. We'll do it every weekday, every hour that we're on the air from now until the end of the show, December 7th, here on KJM, where been having fun, obviously, giving away the money with the contest. It's the easiest thing to do in the world. It feels good. Hey, we feel like Oprah over here. You get a $2,500 and you get $2,500. What's not so easy, though, is what the V Foundation does. And if you are able, please join us. Go to v.org/donate. Just give what you can. All right, we got much more KJM coming up.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not in endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life.
Help continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
Keyshawn, J, Will, and Max, as you hear, it is Giving Tuesday today. People all across the country today give back to support organizations that mean the most to them and their communities. Here at ESPN, that means the Jimmy V Foundation. You can go to v.org/donate now and help support the critical work of the V Foundation, which is cancer research. Meantime, ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano is with us for a little. I know, Dan, there's no smooth transition from that to regular stuff. So I'm just introducing you.
I thought you did fine.
We're going to play overreaction, not an overreaction.
You keep saying that. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but it's a new audience every 15
Before
minutes.
Before we move into something, I want to ask you really quick, Dan, just real quick. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? The Chiefs are the best team today.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's not. I don't think it's easy. I almost said Eagles, but yeah.
Who would be your top three? You have Chiefs, Eagles. Who would be the third?
Well, that's a good big question. Jimmy G guy.
It's not. I'm not going down there. I honestly think it's still Buffalo. They haven't played to it, right?
So like, Cowboys are nowhere to be found.
No, I think they're a consideration for that spot. I think you got to think about the Dolphins right now. Yeah. I think you do have to think about the 49ers. I mean, yeah. I think
Bengals?
Oh, boy. I was at their game on Sunday. That team is – they got something going.
They're like the Chiefs. They have an offense that's like, uh-oh.
They're playing the Chiefs this week.
Yes, they are. There you go.
That's my number one and two in the league. Mahomes is my number one. Burrow's my number two.
If Cincinnati wins this week. Because it changes with you and Justin Herbert sometimes.
Excuse me. If Justin Herbert walks down the street and tosses his hair back.
Go check tape.
It's Mahomes, Burrow, Matt, Herbert Max, for me. It's always been that way.
I just wanted to ask Dan that one little question.
Can we get to what we need to?
He knows me.
If the Bengals win this week, they're going to be the scariest. Like that would be the scariest.
Yeah, I have them on my rankings and my top list.
They think they can beat anybody. I promise you.
I see it coming.
Yeah,
I see it coming.
He has the Cowboys number one.
Yeah, I mean the Cowboys are great. I don't know what's not to like other than, you know, historically, they haven't really cashed it in.
Or maybe they have some people looking from a distance on some stuff, but that's a whole other conversation.
The team looks good.
No, they're just curious.
Getting Tyron Smith back at some point. Yeah.
Just trying to see what's going on. What's all that ruckus?
Well, people get curious.
This is really happening.
All right. What's up?
Just trying to get a better view.
I like that conversation.
Just try to.
Dan, apropos of the conversation we just had, are the Bengals going to repeat, or the Bengals repeat in the AFC North? Is that an overreaction or not?
It's not an overreaction. Baltimore's schedule sets them up to be the team to win that division. But that doesn't do you any good if you're going to lose to the Jaguars while the Bengals are beating the Titans, right? Like that, the schedule thing evens out if they're beating the good teams and you're not beating the bad teams. So Baltimore needs to be careful. The Bengals team is starting to roll. The offensive line is playing well. The quarterback has as much confidence as any human walking the earth. And I think they have fresh in their mind. They know how to win playoff games. They know how to finish the season.
As Dan said, it's not an overreaction. You look at the offensive side of the ball for Cincinnati in particular. T. Higgins, without Ja'Marr Chase in the lineup, is developing as the guy who can carry the passing game. He's developing as a guy that doesn't need a two or three or a second or third guy around him, which is huge.
He said, we had him for an interview on the field after the game. He's talking about the touchdown. He said, a lot of guys will call that a 50-50 ball, but for me, I look at it as 80-20. And he goes, actually 90-10.
He's really tall.
He's 6'4".
No, he's really – no. He's 6'4", but big. He's long.
Yep.
Like he's really long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Young. He's like 23 years old.
Yeah.
I say not an overreaction as well. How many two-score leads have the Ravens blown this year?
Three.
Three, four?
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter.
Three times they've had a two-score lead in the fourth quarter and failed to win the game. It ties an NFL record.
God, so when you can't – when you're blowing leads, you can't convert in the red zone. Like, those are troubles to me. Those are big-time issues to worry about the Ravens.
Yeah, although it also tells me that they could have three more wins. Like the Ravens are still very live. I don't think it's an overreaction to say the Bengals repeat in the North at all. I said it in the beginning of the season. Everyone looked at me like I had six heads. Mahomes is the best. If I could take anyone else, it'd be, Josh out. No, I would take Burrow over anyone else.
You're around Burrow, like, you get that vibe. He's in a press conference after the game, and somebody asked him a question, like, you know, with conditions on it. Like, I know you don't like to look too far ahead, but this is the kind of team you might see down the road. And Burrow just looks at the guy and goes, this is the kind of game that great teams win. Like, after they had just won the game, like, I can see why people follow this dude. Like, he just emanates that confidence.
100%. A lot of quarterbacks are going to have excuses every year why they didn't, if only, and Joe Burrow's going to be making playoff runs. Buccaneers are going to miss the playoffs. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I still think this is an overreaction, but man, like, show me something, right? Like, the reason I think this is an overreaction is my lack of faith in the other teams in that division. Not my faith in Tampa Bay, which does not look like a very good team right now. But, like, if you're going to tell me the Falcons, the Saints, the Panthers, or the Bucs are going to win that division, I think everybody's going to pick the Bucs, right? Because they just look like the better team. But, man, they just, I don't know. They do things that make you worry, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not an overreaction because just like he rattled off those three teams, those three teams feel like they can win the division too. And they still got to play like Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to look at that, it's like, and I know Mariota, throw the ball over his head, Max. You can't. I get it. I understand that.
Can't do it.
That
I'm look. All, I'm out.
But you just, for some reason, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team just looked way different than anything that I've seen over the last 3 years.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards overreaction on this one. If they don't beat the Saints, then they have to play the 49ers and the Bengals. That'll be a four-game losing streak.
So not an overreaction, you're saying.
So it's not an overreaction.
Yeah.
We're sitting here a week from now, and the Saints have won the Monday night game. Like, it's going to be time to worry about the Buccaneers.
I'm going
to
say it's not an overreaction, but I don't believe it. I believe the Bucs are going to win, but it's legitimate to ask about it. And here's the real – you know what's not the same, guys? It's real simple. Before the season, Marpet retires. Jensen gets hurt. They're missing – their entire interior of the offensive line is missing. Now, Wirfs. So your whole offensive line is
but
gone.
But those are just excuses.
But I'm saying
those other teams in the division have great offensive lines, and I'm missing it.
But like, there's a difference when, like, what Tom Brady's kryptonite has always been is pressure up the middle, as you know, covering the Giants. That's really how they won those Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, it is.
Pressure up the middle. And the interior line is completely gone right before the season starts. They just vanish. Come on, man. What do you expect? He's 45 years old. He can't budge.
That's why it's not an overreaction.
The defense isn't what it used to be. Frankly, they're not being particularly well coached right now. I mean, like the offensively, like, they're just not.
Todd Bowles. The other thing is, coach
looks very good.
Todd Bowles does not have a distinguished record as a head coach.
I just feel bad for him.
Sometimes guys are.
It doesn't look good.
Just not doing a good job. Yeah.
The Broncos need to bench Russell Wilson. Overreaction or not, Dan?
I mean, it's not an overreaction. Now, there's a 0% chance it happens. Like, there's absolutely no way they're going to even consider doing this. But he's terrible right now. Like, I mean, what are we looking at here? He's not functioning within the construct of the offense. He's not doing anything outside of the construct of the offense to help them win. His teammates yelling at him on the side. You guys tell me, you guys play professional sports. Like, you're not going to yell at a teammate for playing poorly, right? You're going to yell at a teammate for if you don't think he cares enough.
There's a lot of underlying things there that would make you yell at a teammate.
Well, you know what? It just depends on who I'm dealing with. Because I got to be in a room with you. Now, Russell Wilson's not playing good.
No.
Plus, I think his act has worn on them on top of not playing good. So they're kind of like tired of all of that. Then you're not moving the ball and scoring points, and they're looking at you. You got $257 million on the contract. You got the other player shipped to Seattle. Now we're sitting there and we're going, this dude here, you're more worried about TikTok videos. Is that what's going on?
Know what I think he was yelling
all
at him?
Other stuff.
Know what I think he was yelling at him? See, if you would have gotten back to me on your call sheet, you would have known how I felt about
just,
it.
Just
the,
all
the,
of that.
The thing that did it to me, like when it was like any kind of shred of respect around the league vanished, is – on the podcast, when Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch and everyone were talking about the fact that They couldn't. They didn't have his number. They had to get in touch with his people if they wanted. Once I think that got public and people were talking about that publicly, that was when all bets were off.
Richard Sherman's been talking about this, I mean, for a minute now, though. I mean, look, I said it yesterday, Dan. Carson Wentz has more touchdowns on the season than Russell Wilson.
Is that good?
And Carson Wentz has not played in a while.
Should they bench Russell Wilson, Jay?
Who's their backup?
Yeah.
Do you? Because I don't know.
Jay, should they bench Russell Wilson?
We're trying to ask the question. I don't even know who the backup
is. Is it like Rippin?
That's right. It's Brett Rippin. Brett Rippin.
Should they bench Russell Wilson?
They're not going to bench him. I mean, should they? Probably, but they're not.
I would say there's a 1% chance. I wouldn't say zero. I'd say 1%.
So you think Pete Carroll's laughing?
I mean, Pete Carroll looks like a...
I promise you there are
so
people in
right
that
now.
Seattle building that are enjoying this. I don't know if Pete Carroll's one of them. There are people in that building that are enjoying this.
Oh, no,
this.
I know there's people in the building, but I wonder if Pete's enjoying it, too.
I mean, boy, I tell you, you said his act wore thin. He'd been there 8 months. His act wore thin already. That's rough.
But the interesting thing about it, Dan, a couple weeks into the season, it was wearing thin on people.
Man.
A couple weeks into the season.
It's bad.
They're in a lot of trouble. And Seattle has their pick.
Oh!
It'd be the fourth pick in a draft.
Is it one or two?
What?
Two ones or one?
Well, one, but they won this past year.
Oh, they made the one this year.
It's going down in history with the Herschel Walker deal among the worst of all time.
I mean.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I just heard her.
That's Dan Graz.
Life comes at you fast.
I just heard Herschel Walker.
All right, Dan.
Well, that's a whole other story. But I'm just talking about the trade for Herschel Walker was the worst trade in the history of the NFL.
I'm going to leave.
They got fleeced.
Fleeced.
I said they did 30 for 30 on it.
Dude, when they're doing a 30 for 30 on how bad a trade is.
We're talking about Herschel, the player, but that's about where we're going to.
Is there going to be a 30? Overreaction or not an overreaction, Dan? There'll be a 30 for 30 on this trade.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be that interesting in retrospect, unfortunately.
Thank you, Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, who will appear later on a terrific show, This Just In.
You still got
2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN.
Thank God we didn't get canceled.
Have fun with that next conversation.
The Chiefs are now a betting favorite, the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. Wasn't always that way, but they are now.
Not in our rankings.
Do they have the most dangerous, do the Chiefs have the most dangerous offense in the AFC? That's coming up. Ravens, too, but the Ravens were my preseason pick. I haven't moved off them yet.
No, but Jay is right.
You haven't moved off them yet?
Drives, and Brandon Bean is one of my good, closest friends in the NFL. And it drives me crazy that the Bills got three losses on the season, right? They just continue to get this praise as if they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, well, wait a minute, man. Y'all just lost Von Miller. You let Detroit take you down to the wire. I mean, a heart and a prayer to win that one. And it's just, it's like, come on, man, stop.
Know what else? No one questions whether their running quarterback can beat you with his arm. That's never been questioned.
Lack of a running game. No, they got Josh Allen. It's just, and I like the Bills.
Well, he's the running game.
It just drives me nuts. And then as far as the Kansas City thing.
But Bills could win the Super Bowl. Why not? They could win the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, of course. There's many teams that can win it. The Giants can win it. It doesn't mean anything. The Chiefs, though, they're a very dangerous football team. And they're probably going to come out of the AFC as it looks right now. But,
so real quick, Heath, Chiefs are plus 400. They're the favorites. Bills plus 450. Eagles plus 600. 49ers plus 625. Cowboys plus 900. And the Fins plus 1400.
But I see what you mean, Key. Like, whatever you think of the Bills, and I think they're a very good team, what would make odds makers think that the public thinks that the Eagle, and obviously the public's betting this way, that the Bills are more likely to win the Super Bowl than the Eagles the way they've played this year?
That's the Bills fans is putting all that money on them. That's all.
Bills Mafia.
And it's driving it up. But also, I don't think the Bills are better than the Eagles.
Yeah. But also, like, this is what I love about sports. The best team doesn't always win, right? It's about having...
Except in the NBA, yeah.
That's not even always true in the NBA. I mean, sometimes teams get hot win series, like early
on
series.
That's the best team, though. See, I love when people say the best team don't always win. Well, the team that wins is the best team.
By definition, because they won?
No.
How come?
Because Jay's saying if you
have a team that's dominated throughout the regular season, that's dominated a team, and then one team gets hot, doesn't mean that they're the better team. They just won that one game series. Like in football, you guys got one game series.
That was a better team, though, Jay.
But Key, you would agree. Wouldn't you agree that, for example, during the March tournament, right, for NCAA.
March Madness,
right. But I'm saying the reason I say tournament is because it's one and done. March Madness is one and done. The NFL is one and done.
Yeah.
You get different results than the NBA where you have best of seven series, right? Like, I'm more confident when after I see an NBA season that that was the best team or one of the two best teams. At the end of the tournament or at the end of the NFL season, I'm not always thinking that was the best team in football. I'm thinking they won the Super Bowl that year.
The Commanders beat the Eagles. Are you saying the Commanders are better than the Eagles?
They were better than them on that day. They were the better team on that day.
Who's the better team?
The Commanders are the better team than the Eagles because they beat them.
That's a legitimate point of view, Jay, in the sense that
you have where were the Commanders on your rankings in?
But I'm not looking at that.
But that's what I'm saying.
Week.
That's my point.
I'm looking at everything.
That's my point.
But Jay, I'm looking at the entire season of where the Eagles have been and where the Commanders are now. Now the Commanders start to continue to keep winning. They might surpass the Eagles, in my opinion. They've won what, 5 of the last 6? They're sitting at 7-5. They're not too far behind them.
Jay, can I say, IKEA, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I can see your point of view if it is this, okay?
Okay.
Jay, if the rules are set up where the team that gets hot when it matters most does it and gets the win, then in Key's mind, that is by definition. The game is not that you play that game 100 times and who wins most of them. The game is who can win when it matters most. So if one team wins all the games when it matters most, in Key's mind, that is the best team. That's the definition of the best team.
Here's what I would say. I'm gonna pull one on a J. Will Duke deal here. Who was the better team? Was it the New England Patriots or was it the Super Bowl champion New York Giants?
The Giants.
The Giants were the better team because they beat the Patriots. But if you look from the start of the season to up to the Super Bowl, by far, everybody would have claimed that it was the New England Patriots. But in that game, in that moment, in that time,
when it
mattered, the New York Giants were the better football team. That's why they were able to hoist the Lombardi.
So let me ask you this, guys. Which team do you think has the most dangerous offense? Because the reason what we were going to ask here, except that we got, like, I think it's an interesting conversation. But
we went way,
that
way,
said, way, when we say dangerous offense, Key, I think we are referring to when it matters most, right? Like, when you say dangerous, if they have a puncher's chance, but damn, I don't want to see them, right?
It's easy, Kansas City, then Cincinnati.
I agree with that. I think it's KC and Cincinnati. Yeah. What about Miami?
Miami needs to show me in them cold weather games that they could do what they're doing in South Florida.
What about Philadelphia?
But this is
AFC.
This is
all
the
right.
AFC.
What about the Bills?
I think they fall behind Cincinnati.
What do you think, Jay?
Bills fall behind Cincinnati and Kansas City.
So KC, Cincinnati.
Yes.
Miami?
Miami needs to show me that weather.
I think Miami's top three to me.
I agree. I would have Miami.
I would have the Bills behind Miami.
I just need to see them play the same thing that they're doing in South Florida.
I hear what Key's saying, too.
See, we haven't seen them in the –
Buffalo plays
Jay,
half their games up there.
Coach, I'm telling you, man.
So what do you put? Are you saying Buffalo?
Yeah,
ahead of the Dolphins?
I can't. I'm
not going to say it right now. Maybe next week when I see it, then I'll say, you know.
You both got to see it. It's just.
To see when the wind is going left to right and the snow coming down and it's sleet and they sitting over there on the bench and it's 2 minutes left in the game and they sitting over there doing. I need to see it.
But surely you would like to tell your Polynesian brothers and sisters that you see at the SC games
that Tua's
you
really great.
Love Tua, correct?
Tua's great. He's great.
More KJM.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
V-Week at ESPN.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
Help continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
As you can hear, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, it is Giving Tuesday. We hope if you're able that you'll choose to join us today on Giving Tuesday. Go to v.org/donate now. Help support the critical work of the V Foundation. And that critical work, and there's none more important in the whole world, is cancer research. And we are joined now here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max by Mark Silverman. You know him, of course, as co-host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Morning, Mark.
What's up, Max? How are you?
Good. Good to have you, man. For those of the listeners who don't know, how has cancer affected your life?
Well, in an hour from now, I'll be at the Cancer Center at Northwestern Hospital, Lake Forest. I am 2.5 years in remission. I have a basic checkup where I have to go for blood work. To continue to monitor for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Right at the start of COVID, when the world was about to shut down, turned out my body was shutting down because I was diagnosed with stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I thought I had the world by the you-know-what. And not only did I have to deal with COVID, but I had to deal with my world getting turned upside down with the cancer diagnosis. And it was the last thing I was expecting, but we deal with it. And because of science and because of the V Foundation and the advancements, one of the drugs I was on was an immunotherapy drug. And like after 3 treatments, and I had 6 R-CHOP treatments, which is a type of chemotherapy, I was already in the clear. So because of science and because of what the V Foundation does, Max, I was good to go. So I'm very happy, and I continue to monitor this, and I'll be at the Cancer Center here shortly.
Sylvie, what was that, from an emotional standpoint, what was that battle like, though, when you had to go through just everything with you, your family, your loved ones?
You know, it's weird, Key, because everyone who knows me, and there are a lot of people in Bristol who knows me, Justin Craig, a guy you guys work with, I could be a red ass. And for the first time in my life, I handled things a day at a time. I hate cliches, but it was the very first time I just kind of laid things out. I kind of checked how I felt. I kind of took tabs on what I needed to do for that day, and I checked it off my list. And then I advanced the next day, kind of like Jimmy V would say, survive in advance. And I did that. And I need to do that in my life in 2022, kind of like what I did in 2020 to battle cancer. It's funny the way we adapt and the way mentally And, like, that was the other thing. I handled things mentally as much as I did physically, because mental health, as we know, is something that we need to take care of every bit as much as we need to take care of our physical health.
Wow, Sylvie, that was so deep, man. What does the V Foundation mean to you?
It means everything. You know, Jay Will, I've worked for the company for 25 years. And there have been many days like today, Giving Tuesday. There have been many days in the middle of the All-Star break, or even in the beginning of my tenure at ESPN, I'm like, oh, you mean today we got to talk all about the V Foundation? We're not talking about sports today. And at first the buy-in was like, okay. And then the phones would ring, and then a listener would share with us their cancer story. And you would see how much it would move our fans. And then I would see how much money we would raise and how much it would resonate. And then the years would go by and I would look forward to this. And then ESPN 1000 was touched with cancer. We lost one of our sales guys, Matt Haller. We lost Jeff Dickerson, one of our reporters. Fred Huebner lost his wife. He was diagnosed with cancer. And then eventually it was the guy in the mirror. It was me. And all those years, Jay, of me talking and raising money helped me. Like, all those years of raising money for cancer research was benefiting me, like I talked about with this immunotherapy drug. Who knows? If we weren't raising money, maybe I wouldn't be in remission after three treatments. So it benefited me, and so it's so important to donate today. Because the man in the mirror may be you. And 20 years from now, hopefully we have a cure for this. So let's continue to survive in advance. And hopefully one day we won't have to do this, because we do have a cure for cancer. That's the ultimate goal.
Sylvia, such a great point. You know, like, you think about it, no one gets off scot-free from cancer. It's either, you know, someone you know, someone you love, someone you care about. You know, it's not just, even if you are not selflessly inclined, it's like putting money in the bank, giving to cancer research. You know, like, it will come back to benefit you in one way or another. There's just no question about it. It's scourge of humanity, really.
A great point, Max. It's an investment to the future. Right. Your future, your family's future, your friend's future.
Hey, we have like a minute left here. Sylvie, you want to do a little sports?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, what do you think about Justin Fields? Should the Bears shut him down?
No, absolutely not. You know, he may play, I think, the most common sense thing this week, Max, against the Packers would probably be not playing him, giving him another week. The Bears bye week comes at a good time right after the Packer game, so that way he would miss the Jets game. The Packers game, he would get the bye week. It kind of gives the Bears offense a reset. So now they can kind of advance it again, where then they would continue to see what he can do well. They're running the ball well, maybe advance the passing offense a little bit more. And then he could come back healthier and maybe better, and they could throw the ball a little bit more.
That is Sylvie of Waddle and Sylvie fame, of course. Appreciate you jumping on
Appreciate
with us
you,
this
Sylvie,
morning.
Man. Keep
moving
thriving,
stuff.
Brother.
Thanks, Sylvie.
You got it, guys.
All right. We got much more KJM coming right up.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.